Albania may have abolished the death penalty 12 years ago, but a law written over 600 years ago that allows families to resolve disputes through revenge killing is still on the books. This eye for an eye policy is at the center of Joshua Marston's latest work, The Forgiveness of Blood, his follow-up to his 2004 festival favorite, Maria Full of Grace. The new film opens today at the Lincoln Plaza and Sunshine Landmark Cinemas, and I'm very pleased that it has brought director Joshua Marston, screenwriter and Damien Maratage, I'm so sorry, and two of the film stars, Cindy Lache and Tristan Halilai, to our show today. And Joshua, let's begin with you. You were born in California, but this is the second film you've directed that isn't in English. Are you more attracted to projects that involve characters from outside the United States?
I'm definitely attracted to projects that allow me to go someplace that I don't know and sort of be part anthropologist, part journalist, and get to learn about some new world that I get to open up. So for me, one of the most fascinating parts of making the movie was the first month that I spent in Albania, just learning about Albania and blood feuds and what society is like there 20 years after the fall of communism, and then the challenge of taking all of those interviews and weaving them into some fictional screenplay. But the fact that I get to talk to all these people is definitely one of the really enjoyable parts of making movies.
Well, do you speak Spanish? Did you, for Maria Full of Grace? What about Albanian? Did you understand what your actors were saying?
I did. By the time we shot, you know, one of the first things I did when I read about the blood feuds in Albania and I started getting interested in making a movie was to, aside from, you know, buying books about Albania, I got a CDs. I managed to find CDs for the Albanian language and get a grammar book. And, you know, that's one of the challenging, fun things for me is to begin to learn the language. It's not related to any other foreign language that I know, and so it was definitely challenging. But I, you know, spent months with index cards conjugating verbs, and by the end of it was able to hold a basic conversation. But a lot of people speak English, and a lot of people speak Italian in Albania. So it was a mix of the three languages.
And your actors, at least the two actors that I have in the studio with me, speak English as well. And Damien, you are originally from Albania. Albanian is not a Slavic language?
Albanian is not a Slavic language. It's one of the oldest, probably, languages in Europe, and probably one of the oldest in the world. We are from a small Mediterranean country, but it's been at the belly bottom of European civilization, wide way of speaking. So Albanian, Greek, and the Latin language are at the center of ancient civilization of Europe. And the new Albanian language is a derivative of the old Illyrian language.
So Joshua said that he learned about blood feuds while he was doing research. Did you know about them?
Yes. Blood feud is something we grew up on. Like, we had the whole Albanian literature, Albanian movies, Albanian painting and music and theater has been a central theme. But it has been so overdone and was filled with cliché. What Joshua Marston brought was a new perspective of things that we ourselves considered. They were set in stones. The way that we discovered Albania, me and Joshua, when we went first, I had a lot of clichés about the country, the blood feud, how it works, etc., etc.
Are they that common?
There are common in certain areas of the world, but much more is also a cliché prepared. It's a parafabricated from media. And Josh basically defied all, and it opens even my eyes. The way I saw my own country, it kind of brought a new light. And it's totally anthropological and looking straight at the eye of the beast. It was like a beautiful way of exploring these beautiful people of North that we kind of tend to think as a mountainers, but they are not. They are people like Tristan and Cindy in everyday life, full of dreams and with eyes to the future. And they are trapped in that ancient beast that was like the canoe and the blood feud tradition.
But the blood feud in the film begins over a land dispute, and I was wondering whether that had something to do with all the years that Albania was a communist country.
Yes, it has to do. Nowadays, it has to do with the part that Albania was a communist country and the land dispute after the communism was regenerated because of the laws and everything. But even in the past, blood feud was also, like even prior to the communism, throughout the 600 years, has been a fight for the land. Land has been...
So it lasted through the communist years, even though Albania was one of the weirdest communist countries.
Very extreme, and it was when everybody thought that the blood feud was disappeared because of the extreme communist rules. What, in fact, had happened had been on a slip. At the moment the people got ownership of their land, the dispute restarted over.
Let's bring Cindy and Tristan into this. This is your movie debut, but also the first time that either of you acted?
Yes, this is the very first time. It was we didn't know even that they were searching for characters. I was in school, and then Damian and Genti, another one, came to my school and said that they want a girl for this movie, Rudina, etc. So
the character you play is Rudina.
Yes, the character I play. So I really wanted this, and I just went to the room and said, "I'm here. I'm gonna take this role. I don't want to know if there are other girls waiting. Just want this."
So you auditioned. And obviously they thought you were okay.
Well, this was just one of the auditions that I've done.
And Tristan?
It was the same for me too. It was my first experience in film, and it was a great experience. They came, like Cindy said, to my school too to do the audition, and it was a very big audition, and they picked me.
Well, how familiar were you with the death penalty laws in Albania before you worked on this? Especially the fact that killing by the state is outlawed, but revenge killing by private citizens is not.
So we didn't have any familiar reference of blood feuds and things like this. I'm talking about myself, like Tristan.
But wasn't there one in your family at one point?
No, but I did know about these things from people from France and things like this. But what really helped us to create the character of a guy who is in a blood feud helped very much to us the meetings that we had with the families that were in these blood feuds. We had especially one guy named Christian. He was 18 years old, and he was in a blood feud that his family started when he was just 3 years old. So he had 15 years in his house, and that helped us very much, those meetings with these guys, to create our characters.
Now, that staying in his house is an important part of the story. Cindy, the father in the film, goes into hiding after he kills a neighbor, so the boys in the family are required to stay inside their houses, but not the girls. Are they exempt from the law?
Yes, so that's the most important thing in the movie, I mean, from my character. This is also about the force of a female, that even if the situation is bad, even if you don't have someone to approach you and to help you to move on, they can do everything by their own. And they help the family, they do the male things, like she goes and get the father's job and sells in her village. So
she becomes the breadwinner of the family.
Yes.
And she has to devise schemes to bring in more money, because
yes.
the situation is
very
pretty
bad.
Drastic. Why are the boys, forced to stay inside by this law that they keep on mentioning, the canon?
Yeah, canon is the way to understand. It's not a law, it's not illegal. It is forbidden in terms of applying in nowadays society, but it's a community law. The way that I best, it's a customary law rather than recognized by the state. So it's a forbidden, and what happened today is a self-judgment and an eye for an eye policy. It's really forbidden by the, but it still has strength in certain areas of the country. Now, why it is, because, as you said, it's like over 600 years old, and it's the inheritance of the bloodline, and that's why it's men, because they're the all inherited family. If you kill the blood, then you'll kill the family.
And this happens mostly, I assume, in rural areas.
Actually, the dynamic of Albania nowadays is that most of the rural areas, the people left after the fall of communism, they are free to travel, and they left to the urban areas. And so it's not anymore a story of the mountainers as once upon the time, or as the Albanian media portrayed. It is a story that happened in every city, in the suburbs, in the center of city. Most of the people that have money have bigger conflicts. So they inherit their self-judgment. So it's not a story that it's dead. It's a story that has taken a new character and the new phase nowadays.
We're talking about a new film called The Forgiveness of Blood. Its screenwriter is Andemian Murtai. Two of its stars are Cindy Lacheri and Tristan Halalai.
Screenwriter is Andemian Murtai and Joshua Marston. We co-wrote the script together, and Joshua was a...
And of course, Joshua Marston is the director. And Joshua, the film is set in the present day, but there are a lot of links to the past. Rudina makes bread deliveries in a horse-drawn cart, yet we see everyday use of technology like computers and cell phones. Was that kind of contrast important for you to include in the film?
I mean, that was the contrast that drew me to make the movie in the first place. It was the notion that there are all of these families dotted through northern Albania living in house arrest, and yet while they're in house arrest, they, you know, might be sending SMS messages on cell phones and playing video games. That weird juxtaposition was fascinating to me, and I think ultimately, in a way, it is owing to the fact that even 20 years after the end of communism, Albania is living a period of transition, and when you have a period of transition, you get these strange juxtapositions, and dramatically speaking, that becomes fascinating and very, very interesting.
Is that transition different because of the eccentricities of the Hoxha regime?
Yeah,
I mean, he was unlike any other communist leader. I guess the closest would have been Ceausescu. But he came up with his own brand of communism.
It was a very isolated country. I mean, you know, obviously, Andamian and Cindy and Tristan can speak to it better than I can. But I think that it's created a situation where, on the one hand, you have a desire, a throwback to a lot of ancient tradition, and on the other hand, this surging forward to a situation where, for example, Facebook is in many respects more popular in Albania than it is in other countries. I now have more Albanian Facebook friends than from anywhere else.
Yeah, what was funny was that the Hoxha regime, although it seemed like that he kind of wiped out the canon, his policy, like his state policy, was an eye for an eye policy. It wasn't self-extreme isolation. Like, we were friends with Russia, and then we become enemies, it's an eye for an eye, and we isolate ourselves. We become friends with China, it's an eye for an eye. Now, what happened as a tradition of Albanian society, it becomes a state policy in a way. We are isolated from the United States, and like we are in our own fortress and everything. So it's a very interesting how the Albanian politics in a more wider spectrum was related back to the canon, even as a state policy.
I want to talk a bit about the use of untrained actors there. That's happened in the neorealist films in Italy. We see it in contemporary Iranian films, and of course Robert Bresson did it as well. Are there advantages and disadvantages, Joshua, to this approach?
Well, the advantage is that I don't have to undo any bad habits that an actor might have picked up. You know, when I was doing Maria Full of Grace, I was concerned that professional actors might have worked so long in telenovelas that they might be very, very melodramatic. And, you know, we, in casting this film, saw every professional actor that fit the bill that was in the right age range. But the acting tradition in Albania tends towards the more melodramatic. And at the end of the day, while there are some characters that we, you know, that I used trained actors for, even small parts like a shopkeeper, for example, even though there might be challenges that person might be great when you're rehearsing with them, they could show up on the day and suddenly freeze like a deer in the headlights, that gamble to me was more worthwhile to take than having to take someone who's had years or decades of training and the habits of acting in a very melodramatic fashion and trying to somehow make them more real. That's in many ways a more difficult challenge. And
well, I wonder whether Cindy and Tristan thought it was strange taking direction from an American director in their own country.
No, so it was. I felt lucky because it doesn't happen every day to come such an amazing director from America and then decide to do a movie in Albania, and you're the main character, so the main actress.
The film was submitted to represent Albania at the Academy Awards, but didn't a prominent Albanian director protest and wind up getting his film instead as the official entry?
There is a reason why.
It was a first-time filmmaker, in fact, but he's... I mean, there's no question that I'm not Albanian, but as you can hear from Cindy, Tristan, and Andamia, this movie was a very close collaboration. And from my point of view, not being Albanian, I bend over backwards in order to collaborate and make sure that the film looks and feels Albanian, and I'm checking in constantly with everyone that I'm working with to make sure, like, is this true? Is this honest? And that's my biggest concern as a filmmaker, is that it feels authentic. And for me, what was most significant about what happened was the fact that the film committee in Albania had voted. They met and they've watched all the movies, and they themselves voted by a complete majority to submit the film. They felt that it was Albanian, that for them it was an important story and that it felt authentic, and they wanted this film to represent them in the Academy Awards. The Academy then said, well, by our strict definitions, when we count up the number of passports, Albanian passports who worked on the movie, it doesn't qualify. And I think there was a lot of disappointment in Albania.
And Damian, you want to add to that?
I mean, it's simple. It's an Academy Award for Oscar for Foreign Language. And the film is as authentic Albanian. From the actors, language, location, it's like nobody in Albania ever doubted that. Just because of a letter of some guy that does a film for the first time, sent to the Academy and made the whole thing.
But we run into controversies like this all the time, as we did with Maria Full of Grace. The film is going to have a short run in theaters, and then it will be released on demand. This is the new way to distribute a film of this sort?
Well, one of the things when you have a movie that's in Albania, it doesn't get released on 3,000 screens across the United States. And so for me, what's exciting is that word of mouth will make its way, on the Internet to all sorts of cities where you wouldn't otherwise be able to justify opening this movie on a film screen. And so people can actually watch it on demand. And I think this is a perfect example of a movie where on demand just really opens up the ability for people to see cinema that they wouldn't otherwise get a chance to.
Now, Cindy and Tristan, I assume you're now thinking of yourselves as having potential acting careers. You're going to be an actor?
Yeah, I would like to go on with this.
And Tristan, you're taking acting lessons?
Yeah, now I'm studying at Tetovo Macedonia acting. I'm in the second year under the class of Refet Abazi, who played my father in the movie.
Well, actually, you're so good in this film, I'm not sure you need any lessons, either of you. I want to thank you all for being with us. Tristan Halilai, Cindy Lache.
Thank you.
The two of the stars of The Forgiveness of Blood, directed by Joshua Marston and written in collaboration with Andemian Muratai. It's been a great pleasure having you all on our show.
Thank you.
Thank you.